Thank you, and you may be seated. Take your Bible this morning, if you will. Let's go to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 5 over there in the New Testament, if you would. Man, how many of you had a hard week? Anybody have a hard week? This last week was a tough week, few of you, all right? Man, I was doing okay till yesterday, and my wife hurt my feelings. We were cleaning out the garage. For some reason, she thinks everything I have is junk. And it ought to be thrown away. That hurt my feelings real bad when she said that. And I haven't gotten over it yet. So if the sermon is not good, I'm still struggling, all right? I just want you to know that up front. It just feels like all my stuff ought to be thrown out. And I'm happy to throw out her stuff, but I don't want to throw out mine, okay? You know how that is, right? The great treasures that I've spent my life collecting, she just wants to put them in the dump, in the trash can. It's stuff, right, man? Have you ever been there? You know, fellas, y'all need to stand with me. I need an amen, all right, you know? You're a bunch of cowards, all right? You won't. Okay, I'm on my own up here, all right? Hey, Mark chapter 5 this morning. I hope you're here and you have your Bible and you just enjoy being in the house of God. If you've had a tough week, I hope to help you today, all right? Just encourage you and help. Have a better week, all right? Mark chapter 5, if we'll, let's begin reading in verse 21. The Bible said, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." I want you to drop down, if you will, to verse 35. "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Now, this is a marvelous passage of Scripture. I mean, there are many applications, many truths to be found here. There's a lot of sermons been preached from here. Brother Noble, Ms. Noble's son, he's preached a sermon here using this passage of Scripture on what to do when you're stuck in traffic. Good sermon, boy, blessing, good sermon. This past week, Brother Joe Arthur was over at the Bible conference at Trinity, and he preached from this passage. Now, I'm going to preach his sermon. No, I'm not. Okay. I know that's what you thought you were going to hear, but I'm not. But while I was there and we read, I read verse 35, man, this question just stood out at me. I want to look at it, all right, where he said, "Why troublest thou the master any further?" I said a lot of sermons have been preached, many more will be, but I just want to focus on that question that was put to Jairus, all right, by a messenger from his own house. His own house came. Jairus had come to the Lord, just to be sure you're with me, you understand what's happening here. He had come to our Savior, and he had beseeched him, said, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. And he said, come and lay hands on her, and I know that'll take care of her, and she shall live. That was his prayer and his request, and the Lord said, okay, I'll come. And it took them a while, and they didn't get to go straight. And here they're coming, and then here this fellow comes from Jairus' own household and says, your daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? All right? Hey, I want to tell you, sometimes those who would question, those who would criticize, and those who would cause us to doubt are well-meaning people who think they're doing the right thing. I believe that messenger thought this is the right thing to do. I believe he thought, you know, I need to go and tell Jairus, look, I know you wanted the Lord to come, but don't worry, it just don't even bother him anymore because she's dead. And I'm sure he felt like that's the right thing to do. Well, can I say this to you? Sometimes it's necessary for you and me to ignore those who would question and criticize our dedication to our master. And we just need to ignore them, all right? We must always not allow that crowd to cause us to doubt our God. Don't ever let them cause you to do it. In the face of difficult odds, in the face of defeatist attitudes and the devil's advocates, we need to continue to trouble the Master, all right? We need to continue to trouble the Master. I want to give you four reasons why you ought to trouble the Master, all right? And the reason, you say, just like Jairus did here, we ought to do it because we know he's in control of life. He is in control of life. He is the provider of life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Hey, he's the provider of life. We need to trouble the Master when someone is in need of life. We need to do that. Nothing in the world wrong with that. We ought to do it, okay? You say, well, all hope is gone. No, it's never gone. As long as there's life, there's hope, and especially when you can get in touch with the one that provides life. We ought to be willing to go to him, all right? Hey, it could be that unborn child that has never seen the light of day. Now, I believe they're alive in the womb. Don't misunderstand me. I believe life begins at conception. And I believe abortion is murder. And I believe everybody that does it's going to stand before God and answer for it, okay? But I want to tell you, that unborn child, we've asked you to pray for Jason and Kristen Smith, Pat and Sue Ellen Smith's son and daughter-in-law. They've been told by their doctor that the baby that she's carrying, and by the way, just getting real close to when that child be born, and they've been told in advance, boy, it's going to require surgery and a long stay in the hospital and all of that. Well, I'll tell you what, I think we ought to trouble the Master on their behalf, okay? I think that's a good thing to do. We ought to do it. It might be that unborn child. It may be that barren womb. Boy, in this day and age, you don't hear too many people that are just wanting to have a child and can't. But I tell you what, we pray for folks like that. They would like to have that child. We pray about it. Why? Because he's the provider of life. We trouble the Master on their behalf. Hey, it could be that one who's lost. That maybe you're here and you have a lost loved one today who needs the new birth. We need to continue to trouble the Master on their behalf, all right? Hey, he is the provider of life. Physical life and eternal spiritual life. We ought to trouble the Master, all right? We need to trouble the Master. He is not only the giver of life, provider, but he's the protector of life. You with me? He is the protector of life. We go to our Master when life's threatened. Hey, when you're in serious water, you know, deep water, and looks like you're going to die, it's a good thing to go to the Master, all right? It's a good thing to go to him. Nothing wrong with praying to him. We ought to do that. I hope you don't have somebody come along and say, I'll just forget it. You're going to die anyway. I'm going to trouble the Master a little bit, all right? I think that's all right to do it. Why? He's the provider of life. He's the protector of life. Not only that, he's the preserver of life. He can preserve life when everybody else thinks can't happen. Can't happen. Won't happen. Just give up. Don't waste your time. Hey, it's too late. Don't trouble the Master any further. What in the world are you talking about? I'm going to him. I'm going to him. We're going to pray, all right? We're going to trouble the Master. Why? He's in control of life. And only he is in control of life. You say, well, I've got a good doctor. Glad you do. I've got one I like. I don't like to see him but once a year. Because if I just see him once a year, that means I hadn't been sick all year, and that's a good thing, right? And I'll go see him. And I like him. But I'd look at him and I and say, hey, Doc, appreciate your help, but I'm trusting the Master. I'm trusting him. Why? He's in control of life. Hey, why trouble thou the Master? Because he's in control of life. Hey, I'm going to trouble the Master too, because like Bartimaeus, I want to see. I want to see. Take your Bible and go to Mark chapter 10, would you? Mark chapter 10. Maybe you're familiar with this account in the Bible. Maybe you aren't. But hey, we're going to read just a little bit. Now, the Bible said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he would not trouble the master. Now, that's not the way it says it, but that's what they're asking. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Why? Because he wanted to see, that's why. And he didn't care about the naysayers. He didn't care about those that said, would you knock it off? You're making too much racket. No, man, he was troubling the master. Why? He had a great desire. He wanted to see. Now, the crowd told old Bart, don't do it, all right? But he had a burning desire to see. He wanted to see. He troubled the master to give him sight. He said, preacher, I'm not blind. Good. But sometimes in this life, the child of God needs to see what only God can help him to see. Hey, I'm not necessarily talking about physical sight. Oftentimes what we need to see is a spiritual truth. And we need to see that only God can help us to see it. And we need to go to Him and call upon Him, trouble the Master just a little bit. Lord, could you help me see what I need to see? Sometimes we need to see beyond the clouds that obscure the light of day, right? We need to be able to see past that. Sometimes it's the need to see past the obstacles that are in our way. We look at it and we say, I'll never get over that. I can't climb that mountain. Oh, you need to see past that, all right? We need to see His will rather than our will. We constantly look at the wrong thing. The Bible said, in Hebrews said, we need to see Him sometimes who is invisible. We need to see God. We need to see His working. You said, how do you do it? Well, trouble the master just a little bit. Come to him. Call out to him and say, Lord, could you help me to see? Could you help me to see? There's Old Testament story there with Elijah. And Elijah was there in the city and all the armies had surrounded the city and they were coming for one reason, to take out Elijah. And Elijah sent his servant out to take a look, and man, the servant said, it don't look good. You read back there, you'll see where Elijah prayed and said, Lord, would you open his eyes? Would you open his eyes and see? Sometimes we need to see. Sometimes it looks pretty dark here on this old world. Sometimes it looks like we're outnumbered. Sometimes it looks like we're not on the winning side. But, whoa, we need to pray and ask God, hey, we need to beseech the master. We need to trouble him and say, Lord, would you help me to see? Would you help me to see what's really there? Would you help me to see your point of view? Would you help me to see past that which seems to be blocking my path? Would you help me to see what I can't see? And Lord, would you just help me today? Hey, we need that. We need to trouble the master a little bit. Why? Because we need to see. Bartimaeus said, I'm going to trouble him till I get his attention. Now the world comes along and said, oh, don't do that. Just let it go. Look, you can't win. You can't win. You can't overcome that. Hey, quit listening to that crowd. That crowd that say, don't trouble the master, just accept it. No, I'm going to go to him. I'm going to ask him to help me see past it. I'm going to ask him to help me to see the way when it seems like there is no way. I want him to help me to see there is victory just around the curve, all right? Hey, why trouble thou the master? One, because he's in control of life. Secondly, because I need to see sometimes. I need to see, don't you? Why trouble thou the master? Well, maybe it's like Peter. Take your Bible to Matthew chapter 14, would you? Matthew chapter 14. maybe we get like Peter does, like he did, excuse me. We find ourselves in the same kind of situation he was in. Now, here's the account where Peter was walking on the water to come to Jesus, all right? But we look at verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he said, I better not trouble the master. No, that's not what he said. He cried, all right? The Bible said he cried saying, Lord, save me. What's he doing? Well, he's troubling the master. That's what he's doing. He's speaking out on behalf of himself. He said, I'm in a mess, and I need some help, all right? Hey, you ever find yourself where the waters are troubled and the wind is boisterous? You ever been in that position? You said, yeah, this last week, all right? If it wasn't last week, it may be this next week. We'll find ourselves in a situation where it doesn't look good, all right? Why? Because life brings its troubles. Life brings problems. Life brings some storms sometimes. And we've got to weather those storms. Well, what are you going to do? Well, it seems like I'm sinking. Well, what do? Well, you trouble the master. That's what you do. Why? Well, I want to be rescued. That's why. That's why I want to be rescued. Help me. Help me. I've told you about my experience years ago when I was just a kid and I was on the top bunk with my brother. And I'm sliding off head first. And I cried out for help. That sorry rascal let me fall off. He didn't reach out and grab me. He just let me fall, all right? I called to the wrong one, all right? I called to the wrong one. Now listen, in this old life, you're going to run into some troubles. There's going to be trials. There's going to be great problems. There's going to be deep water. You need to call out to the master. Trouble him. Why, I need to be rescued. Now I want you to see this. It may be even your faith that has taken you to a place. Peter was where he was walking on the water because of his faith in God. You with me? Now, there may be a time in your life you find yourself that your faith has taken you to a place, but we find ourselves sinking because we get afraid. We get afraid in there. It's right, it's good, it's wise then to trouble the master, okay? Don't just sink. Don't say, well, I regret stepping out. I believe this with all my heart. I believe if we were to ask Peter, do you wish you had stayed in the boat? I believe Peter would say, nope, I'm glad I got out. I'm glad I got out. Hey, We look at him, and oftentimes I think people sort of look at Peter and say, yeah, there he is again. But wait a minute, he's the only other human being ever walked on the water. Only other human being ever walked on the water. So while you're over there kind of running him down, you said, yeah, but he looked around, he took his eyes off the Lord. Yeah, but he's the only other human ever walked on the water. The only other one. Why? Because he had faith. He had faith in God, all right? He had faith in him, and he did it, all right? So there he was, all right? It was there. The Lord invited him to come, and he came. But he began to sink. But he didn't regret walking on the water. Now, you may find yourself at some place in life where your faith has taken you. And by the way, where you ought to be. You're serving God, and you're trusting him, and you've stepped down. But it does get a little boisterous, and the wind does get pretty strong, and the waves are crashing. And you may have a little fear. You find yourself sinking. Don't say, well, I'm going back to the boat. No. You need to cry out to the master. Trouble him. He can get you through it, all right? He can rescue you in the midst of that storm. He can take you through. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have went. No. But God's going to teach you something while you're there. Just stay with him, all right? Why trouble thou the master? I'll tell you why. Because he's the giver of life. He's in control. I'm going to keep troubling him about life. So why trouble thou the master? Because there's some times I need to see. My vision is limited and I cannot see. And I'm going to trouble the master because I want him to help me to see. Hey, there's some times I'm going to trouble the master because I need to be rescued. I need to be rescued. Lord, save me. You got to get me out of this. Please help me. And it doesn't take a long prayer either, all right? Why trouble thou the master? I'll tell you one other place. Go with me to Mark chapter 4, would you? Mark chapter 4. Beginning reading with me, if you will, in verse 36. Mark chapter 4, verse 36. The disciples had been with the Lord that day. There had been a multitude of people there. The Lord had been preaching to them and teaching them. Verse 36 says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and saith unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Hey, the disciples had just benefited from a day listening to Jesus Christ preach and teach. They had been in his presence. What an experience that would have been. All day, man. I mean, he had been preaching and teaching, and they had stood there, and there's parables he talked about. The parable of the mustard seed was taught that day. And, man, it was after all of that, they get in the ship, and I'm sure they were excited, and the Lord was tired, exhausted. He lay down, he went to sleep. They get in the ship, and, man, the storm comes up on the way across the sea, and it was so bad that it threatened to absolutely destroy them. And they decided, you know what? Maybe we need to trouble the master. Maybe we need to trouble the master. And they said, Master, now I don't think they said it the right way. Carest thou not that we perish? Hey, don't you care about us? That's what they did. Hey, maybe the day will come when you're going to be serving God. You're going to be in the will of God, not out of His will. In His will. Yet the storm comes that seems about to destroy you. You know, we've got a bunch of false teachers, false prophets, if you will, that fill the airways with this goofy idea that if you're doing what God wants you to do, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. You'll never have a problem. That is a lie out of hell, without a doubt. Hey, you can be in the will of God, serving Him, and the storm comes. The storm comes. All right, it's not your fault, but it's time to trouble the master. It's time to trouble the master. As I said, some weak and biblically illiterate people think you'll never have any problems if you're right with God. That's not true. That is not true. Years ago, missionary brother Mrs. Newsom, I knew Don Newsom and his wife. I knew their kids. They grew up. Their oldest daughter went to Bible college, married a fellow, and they went to the mission field, went to Mexico. They were in language school down there. And while they were in language school, and he was traveling with some other missionaries, they were going to a meeting, they were in a car wreck, he was killed. I'm going to tell you, the storm came. That young lady was left, just her and her young son. Hey, the storm came. In the will of God. Serving God. Storm came. What'd she do? Well, she troubled the master. She troubled the master. To my knowledge, she's still on the mission field, still serving God. This last week, I saw Mrs. Wesson, Joy Wesson, just a few years ago on the mission field in the Dominican Republic, in the will of God, doing the will of God. Her husband drowned. The storm came. She troubled the master. She troubled the master. She's still on the mission field. Her four kids are on the mission field. That's where they want to be, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing. We were talking to her, and she told us, she said, I will come. And, you know, I've already sent word to her. Her daughter's in Bible college over here at Trinity Baptist Bible College, and I've told her daughter, I said, you tell your mom next time she's in town, we want her to come visit if she could. And so she told me this past Monday night, she said, I'm going to come. In May, I'll come back. Her daughter's graduating Bible college. She said, I'll come. And said, I'll call the date. I said, doesn't matter what day it is, whatever day you can come, the invitation's open, you come. You'll be welcome. We want you to come. We want to hear from you. Hey, you make sure you don't miss a Sunday in May, okay? Because you don't want to miss listening to that child of God who learned what it was in the midst of the storm to trouble the master. To trouble the master. Can I remind you, Elijah had to run for his life when he was in the will of God. He was in the will of God. Paul was beaten. He was jailed. He was shipwrecked as he faithfully served the Lord. The storm came, all right? He wasn't out of the will of God. Job was not a backslidden saint when trouble came to him. So what did he do? I give up. I quit. No, sir. No, sir. They troubled the master. They troubled the master. We get the idea, man, things get tough, let's quit. No, let's don't quit. Let's don't quit. Let's trouble the master. Let's trouble him. Hey, my friend, when it looks like all hope is gone, when it looks like you're about to be overwhelmed, the folks around you are saying, hey, it's over. You just might as well accept the fact that it's over. You just might as well accept the inevitable. You can't win. It's not going to work out your way. Hey, you know, what do you think they said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Hey, fellas, you got to give up. I mean, y'all did know, everybody else bowed, you three were the only three still standing. Did not you feel a little bit in the minority? Don't you realize you can't book the top guy and win? Oh, hey, they said, our God's able. Our God's able. They troubled the master. They troubled. Hey, you see, they had already had experience. They had already had experience. You see, it was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that were told, here's the food, eat it. And they said, no, we can't eat that. We're Jews. Now, they didn't, I'm sure, didn't use the word kosher, but they said, that ain't kosher. We can't eat that. That's wrong. Thank God. Our God said we don't eat that stuff. And so they troubled the master. They troubled the master. God answered the prayer, okay? God answered the prayer. There's old Joseph. Joseph down there in Egypt, and serving the Lord. But he got thrown into prison. He got thrown into prison. He troubled the master, okay? He troubled the master a little bit. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to learn to do. When Nebuchadnezzar dreamed the dream there in the book of Daniel, and none of the wise men could interpret the dream, Nebuchadnezzar said, fine, I'll kill all of you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel said, hey, wait a minute, let us trouble the master a little bit. Just give us a chance to trouble the master. They did, and God provided the dream and the interpretation. Why? Because they didn't listen to the naysayers. The easiest thing in this world to do is listen to the crowd that says you can't do it. Just give up. Just quit. Just bail out. No, sir, I'm going to trouble the master. I'm going to trouble the master. Why trouble the master, Jairus? Don't do it any further. Now you go back to Mark chapter 5, would you? We were in Mark 4. Mark chapter 5, verse 35, why troublest thou the master any further? But verse 36 says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Our problem is we're afraid, but we don't believe. We don't believe, and we don't believe, so we don't ask. And our Bible still says you have not because you ask not. Can I just point out to you, he wants you to trouble the master. He wants you to trouble the master. Now, I'm not the master. Please, don't misunderstand this illustration. But I get aggravated sometimes at some of you that call me when you need something. You say, preacher, I hate to bother you. For crying out loud, you're not bothering me, okay? You're not bothering me. Just call. Man, we get the idea, I guess, sometimes we don't want to bother God. We think, well, my problem's not that big. Well, if it's a problem for you, he wants to hear from you. He says you have not because you ask not, all right? Why troublest thou the master? I'll tell you why I trouble him, because he's in control of life. He's in control of life. I trouble him sometimes because, bless the Lord, there's some things I need to see and I can't see. And I need him to help me see. And I call on him the way Bartimaeus did. Hey, sometimes I need to be rescued. I've got myself in a mess. I didn't set out to do it, but I'm in a mess. So I trouble the master because I know he can rescue me. I trouble him. And I'll tell you, sometimes I trouble him because I get like the disciples. I need to be preserved, all right? I need him to get me through the storm. I need him to get me on the other side, all right? I need some supernatural help. So I call on him. I call on him. How about you, Christian? Have you quit troubling the master? Have you quit troubling the master? Hey, you're here this morning without Christ. I want to tell you something. It's no trouble for him to save your soul. He said, I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son died to give you life. You're not troubling him. Christian, where do you stand today? If you just listened too long to the people that said it can't be done, you can't do it, just give up, it's too late, you know, you've gone too far. No. You need to trouble the master. Heavenly Father, I pray today you'd help us. Lord, you'd help us to see. You'd help us to understand. Lord, we may be in a mess.